In the Gospel of Luke, second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse 1 and continue through verse 7. I'm going to be reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. This is the updated edition of that version. Now I invite you to hear these words. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, that is called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. And he went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the guest room. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, into the midst of what is this mystery of your very own Son, Jesus Christ, coming into our world. We gather, O God, with expecting hearts. And Lord, we have heard your words as they have spoken throughout this space. And we pray and ask, O God, that you will create room in our hearts so these words may come into our very lives, that we may not only hear them, but that we will understand them. And having understood these words, Lord, we pray and ask that they may have the power to bring new life into every single one of our hearts this morning. Lord, as we continue to prepare in this season of Advent, we pray and ask that your blessings may be upon these words, that you will bring them to life in our own lives. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the words that you have spoken to me. And I pray and ask that as I preach on this morning, of the words of thy share, that they will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. It's this feeling. And especially as we have gathered this morning and as we have sung together, but there's this feeling that starts to come around Christmas time. This feeling that starts to come maybe at the beginning of December, maybe throughout the middle of December, but this feeling that can be, if we're not careful, it can be a feeling that's really hard to shake off. And it's this feeling of a perfect Christmas. Now I know even some of the brief conversations I've had this morning, I know that this idea of a perfect Christmas, that even some of you are feeling it, that some of you are caught up in it. But just think, when is the last time? When is the last time that you went shopping for a mediocre gift? You say that no matter what, you know, I just want to find that mediocre gift, or the last time that you got ready to invite people over to your home, got ready to prepare that meal that you hoped would be just okay. Or the meal, no matter how great, no matter how wonderful the meal is, no matter how great and wonderful the table is, you had that meal where you just hoped that everybody, by the time that they got there, they would talk about who was late, who was on time, or who's here and who's not here. None of us do that. None of us have that experience. Even this morning, in the midst of clouds, in the midst of rain, I looked outside. I looked outside and I wanted to see perfection. And the perfection that I wanted to see, well, I'll take that back. I wanted to see almost perfection because not at the 1st of December, but just days ago, just a few days ago, we have two inflatables that are in our front yard. It's aren't really our first time having inflatables, but there's an inflatable Santa Claus, there's an inflatable Christmas tree. If it makes you feel any better, the Christmas tree has lights on it, and it has a star that twinkles on and off. which has worked perfect, by the way. It's been fine the whole time. But this morning, with the wind and with the rain, what I wanted to see is I wanted to see both of them at least standing up. I wanted to see them at least off the ground and standing up there. I didn't mind if they were crooked. Didn't mind if Santa Claus was crooked. Didn't mind if the Christmas tree was crooked. They were both standing up. They were both standing up straight, and they were, and I looked out, and this was before shaving, before anything else like that. That was my perfect start to the day. And then I knew now I could get ready, now I could be here, and I can be in the midst of all of you. But that's what we look for, isn't it? We don't talk about it, but it's really what drives us, what we have in our hearts. Imagine that what we all want now, on this Sunday before Christmas, this Sunday before Christmas Eve, so we want a great week. And if it's not perfect, we want it close to perfect. In fact, if you really look at our scripture this morning, you can hear those words. You can hear those words in the background ringing in our ears. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Words that are so familiar that even Linus could get up and say these kinds of words. But Luke chapter 2, verse 1, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Those words, in those days, with quotations around it like that, almost in the sense of a fairy tale. And how do fairy tales end? How do fairy tales that start once upon a time and in those days, how do those stories end? How do fairy tales end? And they lived happily ever after. All of this perfect, all of this wonderful, all of this above average. And what is extraordinarily interesting about this is that this perfect, wonderful, above average, that's not our Christmas story. It is not the story that we as Christians, it's not the story that followers of Jesus, it's not the story of people who have said, yes, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not the story that we have. It's not the story that we carry with us. Our story begins with, yes, as Luke reminds us, it begins with, yes, in those days. It begins with historic, monumental, begins with a historical moment, in fact, that will change the calendars, begins with in those days, and continues with Mary and Joseph moving so they could be counted. That's where that story begins, is that immediately that in those days starts with Mary and Joseph moving just so they can be counted. Imagine the census of our own country. We've had the experience. We know what it's like to be registered. We know what it's like to be counted. We know how complicated it can be to be counted, especially when people don't go to the doors anymore, especially when people don't return their census forms and mail them back in. But imagine the census of our own country. And imagine rather than people trying to find us, rather than people coming to us, rather than having an email reminding us to go and get the census form out of our mailbox, imagine that it's not in the mailbox, there's not a volunteer that's going to come and find you, but imagine because you have been living abroad, imagine returning to your own country. Imagine returning to your own home. Imagine the sudden rush to get back because in those days there is a census that is going to come. There is a registration that is going to come. There is a decree that has been given. So in those days, imagine rushing back to your home country to be registered. In all essence, imagine rushing back to be counted. And then, at the same time, imagine the love of your life, the one that you're engaged to. And as Tawny was singing this morning, that feeling that you had when you had to fight back and when you had to hold back a tear, imagine that the one that you love, the love of your life, the one that you're engaged to, it's time. She's having a baby. And unlike the fairy tale of in those days and then they lived happily ever after, there's no fairy godmother. There's no Prince Charming that's going to come. There's no castle. There's no nursery. And not even a spare bedroom in the inn. There's only a manger. It's the kind of manger that is suitable for livestock. And there is only Mary, there's Joseph, and there's God. Recently, God, who, well, as angels have proclaimed, have promised to Mary, you have found favor with God. This is our story. This is our story of Christmas. This is our Christian story. This is our story, all of our stories in these last few days leading up to Christmas. This is the story that the church reminds us that we have an opportunity to live. It's a story that we're invited to not only hear, but a story that we're invited to live into. It's a story of two teenagers who are rushing back to a home country to be counted, who have been displaced by the decree of a governor. And it's not the perfect fairy tale ending. Rather, it is an ending that sounds like this: and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the guest room. And some 2,000 years later, apart from the happily ever after, or even the perfect journey getting there, that's what becomes the greatest story that's ever been told. That's what becomes the greatest story that we know has the power to change and transform lives. That's the place where love grows, with Mary and with Joseph and the promise of God being present with them. You know, as a preacher, it's over and over. People will come to me and people will say, "Hey, it's not. It is not the kind of conversations, it's not the kind of conversations that happen after worship. It's not the kind of conversations that happen in the vestibule. It's not the kind of conversations that happen in the parking lot. But it's the kind of conversations. It's the kind of conversations that they say, "Hey, I want to talk to you. I want to see you this week." And so, is there any way that you could just a few minutes, the ones that are taken away from spaces like this? But as a preacher, the kind of conversations that I hear over and over is, "I just want everybody to be happy. You know, I've done all of this. Why can't people just be happy? Why can't they just for one day out of the year, why can't they just for a little bit of time, why can't we just all get along?" And that's when it comes out over and over. That's when it comes out. You know, it's not been the best year, but just for one day. Just for a couple of days. What is so extraordinarily amazing about those experiences of not the perfect time, of not the wonderful fairy tale, not the everything that has landed exactly right. Those conversations, again, outside of the sanctuary, outside of the vestibule, outside of the parking lot, but the private conversations, those are really the conversations and really the story and really the kind of life that Jesus has invited us to live. As Christians, we have the opportunity in these last few days that are leading to Christmas to stop pursuing the perfection, to give up the kind of fairy tale. We have an opportunity to take a look once again at Mary and Joseph and God. It's the same with us. In fact, to us, you, your family, your friends, and God. It's the opportunity that all of us have in this moment. This is where love grows. This is what we say together as a church, is that this is the very place where it is God, it is Jesus, and it is the Holy Spirit that comes together in this very way. As Christians, this is our story. Not just the Christmas story that we read on Christmas Eve night, but it's our story to live. Beyond the myths, beyond the fairy tales, it's our own historical moment of saying, in those days. And so I wonder, which is the story that we want to take with us? Which is the story that we want to continue living? Which is the story that we're going to give the power to shape and mold our lives? Is it that fairy tale where it's never enough? That unending life story about just one more thing, just one more gift, one more thing on the table, one more invitation that we've sent? Or is it the one where we say, it's going to be me. It's going to be the people that are around me. And God's going to be at the very center of that. Which one are we going to live? Which one are we going to allow to shape our lives and to mold our lives? Imagine taking that story of us along with the ones that we love, and maybe even complete strangers that are coming into our lives for the first time. And with having God at the very center of that, imagine with all the mistakes, with all the misdoubts, with all the misgivings, the Christmas story is really the one that has brought all of you here today. It's really the one that has brought all of you here in this very moment. It's the one that some 2,000 years later has brought us here to say we are going to gather early on a Sunday morning. When it's cloudy, when it's rainy, that's what's brought us here. And if it has the power to bring us here today, imagine what it can do to the lives of our families and our friends. Imagine how love could grow if we live this story with Mary and Joseph. Let's bow our heads. We thank you, O God, for this day. Most importantly, O God, we thank you for your presence that is here. There are moments that we can be swept up in the power of your Holy Spirit. There are moments, O God, that we can be inspired by what you have offered us. And yet in every moment, Lord, your presence remains constant. Your presence remains here with us. And we pray and ask, O God, that as we meet you in this very presence, we pray and ask that you will let it be enough, Lord. Let the presence of Jesus Christ be enough in our lives. Let you, O God, as a Father to each of us, let your presence be enough. Lord, let us be willing to let go of our own selves, to let go of our own feelings, our own tendencies, to allow your Holy Spirit to once again guide us, or maybe even for the very first time, set the whole direction of our lives. And Lord, let us continue to be faithful to you. And let us continue, O God, to love one another the same way that you have loved us. We pray and we ask this all in Christ's most precious and most holy name. Amen.